It's here and now. Water led to the destruction of Japan's Fukushima nuclear plant following a massive earthquake and tsunami there 3 years ago. Well, now Japan is turning to an idea inspired by water in its solid form to help the crippled power station. Engineers are constructing a giant ice wall around Fukushima's four reactor units. The idea is to block groundwater from mixing with contaminated water inside the nuclear power plant, but some experts question whether the technique will actually work. Ken Bissler is a senior scientist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, and he's worked with Japanese scientists since 2011 to study the scope and impact of the Fukushima disaster. Welcome to the program.
It's my pleasure.
So first of all, describe to us exactly how would this ice wall work? It's really sort of a frozen dam of soil, isn't it?
Yeah, what they're trying to do is keep the groundwater that's flooding those buildings to this day from accumulating. And so they're building basically a box around surrounding four of these reactors. So the idea makes some sense, because if you have water leaking into your basement, you want to plug those leaks, you have to stop the water. But the engineering, the scale of this is something that's really unprecedented. This technology hasn't been used on this scale before. It's something like a mile distance around these particular reactors.
Mm. Now, specifically, engineers are, what, they're injecting some sort of cooling or freezing solution into the soil for that mile-long distance that you were describing to create this frozen barrier, right?
Right. It's basically tubes spaced about 3 feet, a meter apart, going down about 90 feet, and they're putting very cold fluids pumped in and out of those to freeze the ground around them to create an impermeable barrier. Apparently, it's been done on smaller scales, building tunnels, areas where the soil is saturated.
Right, and so it has been proven, as you've said, on a smaller scale, but nothing ever at this size. How much groundwater are we talking about that needs to be diverted or kept out of those crippled reactors?
Well, it's something like 400 tons a day that they keep collecting in the process of cooling down the reactors, a process that will have to continue for many, many years to come. They're having to store this radioactive contaminated water now in tanks. Every day or two, they're building a new tank. They're simply running out of space. There are over 1,000 tanks on the site already. There's concerns about leaks of those tanks, how to clean up that water. So the first priority, in my opinion, has to be dealing with the water they already have. But the idea of, you know, engineering something on this scale that hasn't been done is of concern, not just because whether they can do it, but maybe there's some side effects that might also creep into this game that they really haven't considered here.
Side effects such as?
Well, if you stop the flow of water into a certain soil, you can get things like settling. Buildings can move. So these are very precarious situation anyway, so we don't want to have shifting. And as a marine scientist, and we've looked at groundwater and saltwater intrusion, I study the isotopes such as cesium that are radioactive released from the site. And as long as that groundwater is passing through soil, the cesium kind of sticks to those clays. If you stop the groundwater and now you allow the saltwater to intrude, to come back on shore, you can actually remobilize. You can release cesium back off where it's already attached, and that could be a further source to the ocean. So I have not heard any discussion about the amount. I know the soil is highly contaminated, but how much they would have these secondary effects of re-release and how stable the soils might be when you remove the water from that area.
Mm. So just to be clear, your concerns are primarily, one, that this is untested technology at this scale. Two, it possibly is diverting Fukushima operators' attention away from dealing with the contaminated water that they already have. And three, that there could be unintended negative consequences to the use of this ice dam to begin with. But nevertheless, I mean, the Japanese government is footing the bill for this, some $500 million on this new technology. It sounds like you don't think that that's the best use for this money.
Well, right now, I really think they need to deal with the water they already have stored on site. We're talking tanks, some of which are of a design that were truly a temporary solution. They're trying to build up systems to decontaminate not just the 400,000 tons of water they have already in these tanks, but every day the incoming water. And they haven't proven able to do that, in some ways, more simple task than this ice wall. So maybe it's not a diversion from what they have to do with the tanks, but those tanks they're connected by rigid piping. This is an area that's prone to earthquakes, and the quantity of some of the isotopes, in particular things like strontium-90 that weren't as significant 3 years ago, are quite high in each tank. So any one spill, and there have been two major spills already that were human error, but basically can have consequences for the impact on the oceans.
Mm. Now, you've been working with Japanese scientists to study the impact of the Fukushima disaster. Do you have a sense as to how Japanese residents who have, you know, suffered as a consequence of what happened at Fukushima, do they see this ice dam as a positive step forward, or do their long-term criticisms of the government and its inability to fully communicate what's going on there persist?
Yeah, when I talk to the scientists I work with or the public that I meet, essentially people have lost almost all confidence in TEPCO, the company that operated the reactors and now responsible for the cleanup, and by extension to some of the government officials and what they've been told. So, you know, you hear from the prime minister that things are under control. Well, that's a pretty loaded word when you can't control the groundwater that has to be dealt with and stored, the leaks that are happening, the human error that's causing additional releases. So I think there's a real need for kind of independent outside assessments of what's going on and communication to the public of what it means to have additional radioactivity in their environment in addition to the hundreds of millions of dollars we're talking about. So yes, you can engineer solutions, but at the same time, if you're not communicating very well to the public about what you're doing and building confidence with independent assessments, I think it really doesn't matter how much you spend, the public will still be concerned.
Now, overall, the decommissioning of the Fukushima Daiichi power plant is supposed to take 40 years. I mean, beyond this issue of the potentially contaminated groundwater, what more do you see needs to happen for that decommissioning process to go forward with success?
Well, it's pretty unclear still because they can't get into a lot of those buildings and into the core where the fuel rods and meltdown occurred. So you don't really know how easy it would be to extract any of the most concentrated materials from the cores of these reactors. And, of course, the solution then to either entomb and leave in place or remove can't be made until you know more. So I'm hearing 30, 40, 50 years and really open-ended as to whether they can really remove the radioactive materials from the site or they have to somehow stabilize it. Getting water out of those buildings is important so you can actually make those assessments. But in the short term, they've got some serious issues with just what's already been stored and leaking on that site and really helping the public to understand what's going on. And certainly some of the contaminated areas people can't move back to on land. There's 70,000 plus people still not able to move back to their homes. There's some really serious issues locally in Japan, especially on land.
Ken Bissler is a senior scientist at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
You're listening to Here and Now.